Hello, this is Sarah, and this is still Sarah, and I'd like to welcome you to PediPal, a monthly podcast about pediatric palliative care, which can sometimes be a little repetitive. You may have noticed that Dan did exactly this shtick last week when a technical snag kept him from being part of that episode. This month, a logistical snag prevented me from being at AHPM, so selfishly, I've tasked Dan with running around AHPM with a microphone and asking everybody our favorite question. What were their biggest take-home points? So without any further ado, let's listen.
This is Dan coming to you live from the annual assembly in Phoenix, Arizona. When you are ready.
Hello, my name is Jennifer Salant. I am the director of the Pediatric Advanced Care Team at Weill Cornell Medicine in New York City. And I'm also a pediatric intensivist. And I just attended the session titled Home Sweet Home, a Pediatric Palliative Home Transport Guide for Rural and Under-Resourced Areas that was presented by Drs. Morvant, Autry, and Ragsdale. And I am thinking about how I can apply their guide and the principles of their palliative home transport program to my patient population in New York City. I'd also like to add that it has been my dream to be a guest on PediPal since its inception a few years ago, and I'm so happy to finally realize that dream.
My name is Kelsten Ellis. I'm a pediatric palliative care physician at Children's Mercy Kansas City and the University of Kansas Health System. And at AHPM today, I learned about palliative transports, but more specifically about quality of life excursions, which is something I'm really excited to learn more about and hopefully bring back to our team in Kansas City.
Hi, I'm Matt McAvoy, and I work at Texas Children's Hospital in Houston, doing both oncology and pediatric palliative care. And I'm here at AHPM Assembly, and I learned a lot at the session on dignity with Dr. Allison Silverstein from Children's Hospital Colorado. Number one, how little that has been studied over the years. And number two, all the different ways that we can support children and their families and promoting the dignity of the child throughout our care.
Hi, my name is Gabe Daniels. I'm a pediatric palliative care fellow at UAB in Birmingham, Alabama. I'm at AAHPM, and my next year I'm hoping to help build a pediatric palliative care program, and I've had an awesome time learning today about what programs look like and how people have started them up.
Awesome. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I love it.
Less?
Do you have more to say?
No, I don't know. I thought you wanted the sound bites. I gave you a sound bite.
That was a great sound bite. I know. I'm happy with it. But don't restrict yourself. There's more that's just bursting to come out of you. Feel free to share.
I don't know. I mean, I think the part that has been most exciting is I come from a program that is very medicine heavy, adult medicine heavy. And so having the opportunity to really see how many people are practicing in this similar space, be connected to people at different levels of experience and just learn more about our field has been really exciting.
That's a sound bite. I love it.
My name is Rachel Kentor. I'm a pediatric psychologist in the palliative care program at Texas Children's. And one thing that really stuck with me today was discussion about practicing in a post-Roe era and somebody talking about the way to really initiate change is that sometimes you need to be the mosquito buzzing in the ear of power. Very powerful.
Hi, my name is Claire Sluzars. I'm a nurse practitioner at Weill Cornell on the Pediatric Advanced Care Team. And I went to the Pearls from Adolescent Psychology and Psychiatry to Aid in Pediatric and Adult Palliative Care talk this morning by Dr. Truba and Radbill and learned new ideas about how to apply motivational interviewing in the field of palliative care.
Hi, my name is Alexis Santos. I am a pediatric hospice and palliative fellow at Children's Hospital Philadelphia.
And hi, my name is Tyler Bating. I am a pediatric fellow at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia in hospice and palliative medicine.
We were actually just reflecting on what we learned today.
Okay, so then this is perfect.
So the timing of this is ideal.
Okay, cool.
We both went to a session talking about how to communicate with young adults and really just being reflective in that conversation. We talked a lot about motivational interviewing. And we were just talking about how do we take that learning and try to elevate it to the next step and where are our learning edges in our own practice. So what we were talking about is kind of summary statements, whereas, you know, the basic model of it is summarizing verbatim what somebody has just told you, and then to take it a next level further to try and capture that essence and the emotion behind what they're saying, and follow it up with another statement that could probably lead them in another direction. So I hear you are worried about finances. I wonder if you are thinking about insert whatever. So trying to have that lead, knowing that even if with that lead, it might not be what they're wondering about, but it can prompt further conversations. Like, no, I'm actually not wondering about that specific thing, but what I am wondering about is X, Y, Z. So continuing to push that conversation forward. That was one of the big things. That's what we were just talking about before you walked over here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the session with, was it Natalie and Linda? The psychology with adolescents and young adults was incredibly insightful.
Yeah.
Just a lot of really nice, like, neurobehavioral pearls to anchor on for moving forward within our careers. Really, really helpful. But no, you hit the nail on the head. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. I think that this state of science in pediatrics also is incredibly eye-opening as well. I haven't seen the data, though. I feel like we've experienced this kind of grief support, anticipatory grief, with different caregivers and the different supports that are offered for different caregivers, and also how societal roles influence your grief experience. I feel like that's something that we can see in practice, but to actually see the data, that was really eye-opening to me. Yeah.
I was going to say, too, I think something I've been working on more in my practice and working with our spiritual support is really assessing spiritual needs of the caregivers, and now even more so of the patients, the young adults and the five-year-old children that we interact with, that the data supports that they have spiritual needs and they have spiritual concerns. And that was something very, very eye-opening, and I do not think something I had appreciated quite before.
Totally agree. And I also appreciated how they made the distinction between religion and spirituality, recognizing that they are not, they're overlapping. They can be distinct for some people, and they can have also overlapping features and qualities as well. And I think, like, in the literature, it is sometimes hard to find, like, a clear definition of spirituality, and that can make it really difficult to kind of think of, like, well, what is the assessment? What does spirituality mean to this child? And I think that opening a conversation, like you said, with, like, those assessments is so important, and I think something that I need to work on as well.
This is Jen Huang from the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. So I think it's incredibly important to note that in the PEDS state of the science, we are talking about respect statements as common nomenclature. We don't have to say that those are nurse statements. We don't have to say that those are responding to emotion. When we say respect statements, everyone in this room knows what those are, and that is culture change. And the people from Vital Talk, shout out to you, because that is you. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Meghna Singh. I am a first-year pediatric palliative care attending at Texas Children's Hospital Baylor College of Medicine in North Austin. And one thing I will take away with me from this conference is the impact of storytelling and the proverb that they spoke about, that is, until the lions get to tell their own story, the hunters will get all the glory. Also, the idea of the empathy that we carry and unburdening that empathy, both inside of our clinical practice and outside in our personal lives.
All right, you know the format. You can introduce yourselves. You've both been on the podcast before.
Some more than others.
I hear what you're saying, and I wonder if you're feeling bitterness. This might be a loaded question. Ooh. Who would like to go first?
You know, since I'm holding the bitterness, maybe I'll start it off and we'll initiate. So, Conrad Williams at MUSC in Charleston, South Carolina, and most importantly, PD Pal's number one fan.
Hi, and I'm Jared Rubenstein from Texas Children's in Houston, and I'm PD Pal's number one fan.
And, you know, I was thinking on the way here, like, I just like this guy too much to be in this constant state of competition.
I'm wondering if this is time we could bury the hatchet and decide that we can both be co-biggest number one fans.
All right. I think so. Let's do it.
Let's hug it out.
Hug it out.
I have never regretted more that this is an audio medium, not a visual one. Because if you, audience, could see what I've just witnessed, I would bring a tear to your eye. I'm also curious to hear how this conference has been going, aside from like the peacemaking that you're doing. How's the conference?
I'll say it's been great. I love being here every year. I love seeing the community coming together for collaboration and networking and learning. I think one of the things that feels different and exciting this year is at multiple talks, seeing pediatric palliative care doctors being really fired up about important issues in a way that that feels exciting and has a lot of promise.
Yeah, for sure. I think for me, so I think I might have made it to every one since Vancouver, which was like 2010, 2011. And I think one thing that is really awesome to see is that there's so many people in the pediatric space at this meeting now. So just to kind of see our field grow as much as it has, like being in the council meeting yesterday, I looked around and like I hardly knew anybody there, which was great. And so I think it's a reflection of how the field has grown. And then also what's really cool is like interdisciplinary presence has grown right along with it. And so to see like chaplains presenting and social work involvement and things like that has been great, for sure. I think more like a kind of a concrete learning point from this morning with Lynn's keynote, Lynn McPherson's keynote. She's obviously a pretty dynamic speaker at baseline. Kind of ties in that interdisciplinary involvement and just really thinking about, at least from my standpoint in leading a team, like how do you get to like an ideal state within your own team of functioning, like what is the role of the physician, nurse practitioner, chaplain, social worker, where do those overlap and how do we kind of really approach caring for a child and family in a truly interdisciplinary manner? And I think we have room as a field to kind of be better at that, but that talk this morning really resonated.
I want to ask you a question, which you don't have to answer, but based on the council meeting yesterday, you brought up a very, I think, important point, which was that we were all asking ourselves, what have we learned from the adult practitioners? And your question was, are they asking the same question? What can they learn from us, from pediatrics? Do you have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's so many things. I think the way when we hear people talk about the experience they have, compounded by COVID, but even at baseline, how care partners and spouses and significant others are not engaged in healthcare conversations in the adult medical world, where on the other hand, we, by definition, practice family-centered care, I think is something that we could absolutely make portable and teach our adult colleagues something about. I think the way we practice in a more collaborative nature, I think the way that we actively engage everyone in conversations is something that I'm not sure happens so much. And I think it would be great if we all worked together more and all sort of asked what we can benefit from learning from each other's models of care.
All right. A nice sort of conciliatory message to round out our conciliatory little meeting here. Any last thoughts, last words?
I'd say a last thank you to PD Pal. I think y'all have become the voice of our generation. It's something to look forward to every month. And I'm grateful for it.
I'll let that stand. I don't know if I'm going to let that go in the episode, but we'll see. I appreciate it. Last words, do you want to praise us too?
You know, I'll echo code number one fan's thoughts about PU Pal. It's a great space.
Yeah, thank you for saying that, because I was going to say, like, a true number one fan is going to say some nice things about us. That's all, yeah.
Definitely better than Jerry Pal.
That is going in the episode. Yeah, that's...
Send it to Alex and Eric.
It's Sarah again. And listeners, I think I'm just sitting with you in this moment, reflecting, admiring how Dan, the self-proclaimed introvert, was able to swim through the sea of people that is AHPM and come up with these really sweet clips. We're calling the episode Take Home Points, but now after listening, I'm wondering if moving forward we should maybe think about the phrase summary statements, as one attendee mentioned, using what we learned and maybe following those statements with a wonder in a different direction. One thing I'll reflect on is I really enjoyed hearing what people learned indirectly instead of from the speaker themselves. It reminded me, in some ways, of the practice of going into a room for the first time and asking a family from scratch to tell you what the doctors have explained so far. Because there's something really powerful about hearing how things land, more than hearing how they were delivered, sometimes it's really great to hear both and be able to contrast. And actually, maybe now that I think about it, delivered isn't the right word. But if something lands, is that because it was tossed, thrown? Maybe that's more language we can revisit in the future. So I wonder, listener, about this transition back into the in-person meeting space, about the ongoing availability of virtual attendance, the now routine virtual revisiting of recorded sessions as a gift from the pandemic. And I'm wondering if we'll be able to see you all next year in Colorado. And I'm wondering, more than anything, if Dan was here, if he'd have some beautiful and poignant way to tie this all up, as he always does. So as I wonder these things, and maybe you'll wonder them with me, we'll see you next month, virtually, and hopefully we'll see you next year in Colorado. Thanks for listening. Our theme song is provided by Kevin McLeod. You can follow us on Twitter, where our username is @PDPal. You can find the notes for this podcast and all of our episodes on PDPal.org. If you'd like to submit thoughts, objections, or ideas for future episodes, please reach out via the email on our website. This has been PDPal. We'll see you next month.
One final note. Huge thanks to the whole American Academy of Hospice and Palliative Medicine for letting us record at the annual assembly, and especially to Emily Muse of AAHPM and Hannah Marshall of Agency in Motion, who very kindly guided me to avoid violating any of the media policies. As Sarah said, we're hoping to see you in Denver.